Many of you know that we've been in this series leading up to this Christmas Eve morning about the gift. And it would probably be a bit of a cliche if I said that Jesus is the greatest gift, right? You've probably heard that 1,000 times, and that's a little old. But I will say this, and I don't think this is as much a cliche as that Jesus is the best gift giver in the world, hands down, best gift giver. And so the thing that I want to encourage you today is, even if you have received Christ, there are so many that have, and yet they have not received all that God wanted to give to them through Jesus Christ. So there's some unpacking that has to be done. So you've seen this on Facebook, and this package has been around. And so today we're going to do a little unpacking. And quite frankly, I'm scared that they've put something in here that I don't know about. But you literally spend your entire life, once you come to know Christ, you spend it unpacking all that it is that God has said about us through Jesus Christ, all that He has done for us. And you begin to find out that the gift of Jesus is a lot more than we ever thought, that inside of Christ, in Christ. Have you ever heard that in Scripture? You run into it 93 some odd times. You'll find that in Scripture, that there are promises. And where do you find them? They're in Christ. They're in the person of Jesus. And so as you begin to look, you realize that there's more to salvation than just a one-time encounter at an altar or at a church or wherever it may be. That there are these gifts that Jesus intends for us to have because of what He's done. And so I want us to just unpack 4 of these gifts this morning. You literally need to spend the rest of your life looking into Scripture, unpacking the promises of God that He's spoken over your life. But this first one today, we'll call it the gift of presence. Chris Heifert read the Scripture earlier in John 1:14. It said that the Word became flesh. In other words, Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, became flesh and it dwelt among men. And so I want to talk to you about this gift of presence. And as you notice, all of this sort of looks alike. And I started thinking about whenever we ask for Jesus to come into a situation or a problem in our life, how oftentimes the packaging is deceptive. Have you ever prayed for something? And you pray for Jesus to come, or you pray for Jesus to bail you out of a situation. But the way in which He comes is often hard to understand. We almost miss it. And so I would say to some of you today that if you've been praying for God to enter into a situation, a problem, whatever it may be, I want you to ask yourself if what you've done is you've already predetermined how you think God ought to come and what He ought to look like in His coming. And I'll tell you, He almost never meets those expectations. He comes in these ways where you have to be searching and looking in these curious ways. A Savior comes as a baby in a manger, not a king riding on a white horse. That's the way He comes. So I want you to go back and look at whatever the situation you're in and say, Jesus, have I missed you? Is it that you've been there all along? Because He has been. You've been there all along, but I've missed you because I tried to make you look a certain way. So it's this gift of presence. And I will say this, that once you receive Jesus Christ, you will never, ever, ever, ever be alone again. You'll never be alone. You could be isolated from your friends and the ones that you love and even family. They could isolate you, but I can tell you that you'll never be alone. Because nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. They could throw you in prison for something that you believe, or from the looks of some of you, something you did wrong. I'm just kidding. But do you realize those bars don't mean anything to Jesus? Because He comes in the inside and He lives in us. So He goes wherever we go. Even if you were to go to prison, He'd go with you. In fact, we could put you on a deserted island, a castaway on some island. And you know what? He'd follow you there. He would be right there. So this gift of presence is a reminder of the song that we sang, Emmanuel, that God is with us in every single situation, circumstance of our life. And then this gift, this is the gift of contentment. You'll spend the rest of your life learning how to unpack this gift. In fact, the writer Paul said two times that he had to learn to be content. It didn't just come natural to him. Now, what does it mean to be content? It goes along with this gift of presence, that Jesus is enough. That the person of Jesus is enough, and His promises over us that they're enough. So many times the enemy comes to us and he tries to sell us a lesser package, if you will. He'll come to you and he'll say, "You're not enough. You haven't done enough to deserve Jesus. Or you've done too much wrong in order to be loved, in order to be used by God in some kind of way, in order for Him to want to spend any time with you." And He comes with those subtle lies. And if we believe the lie, then we'll move out into the world trying to build something, make something of ourselves. We'll try to pull in people and we'll use everybody around us if necessary, thinking that somebody can do something to make us someone. And I will tell you that this gift of contentment, it's like an early warning sign, if you will. It lets you know when you're getting off track. You see, when you lose contentment, what it's revealing to you is that you've started to listen to the lie of the enemy. And now what Jesus said is not enough for you. And what Jesus did is not enough. And you're about to go out and create something. And I'll tell you this, and I've said it before, you cannot create or even imagine anything as good as the reality that you have in Jesus Christ. Did you hear me? You can't create it. You can't imagine it. Anything that would be better than your current position and what Jesus says about you right now, right where you are. Now, if I move over to this side, we'll say that this package, this gift here, is the gift of reconciliation. That's a beautiful gift. You see, reconciliation is the gift that undoes the effect of sin on our relationships. And so, in one of the messages that I preached, I talked about following the path of sin. And I said that you can follow the path of sin like you would follow a ball that's thrown from someone's hand, an arrow shot from a bow. They all have paths, and sin has a path. And the path to sin is leading us towards separation from God and the people around us. You watch it. It doesn't matter what sin you want to call right now. I'll tell you, the ultimate path of that thing is to lead you into isolation, to separate you from everybody, to separate you from God, to isolate you, to cause division between you and God and you and others. It is always the path of sin, and it creates chaos. But this beautiful gift called reconciliation is that even while we were dead in our trespasses and sin, Scripture says even in the midst of the chaos, Jesus came. And why did He come? He came to restore this relationship. That blows me away, y'all. You think about this gift for a minute. Sometimes I'll just be by myself out by my pond and just sitting in my tree. Out in my tree. I'm not sitting in a tree. I'm sitting in a chair. It's my story. If you want to picture me in your tree, you can. And I'm looking out at the water and I'm looking up at the sky and I'm thinking, God, You want to spend time with me. Do you realize that? That God, the creator of the universe, says, I want to get along with you and I'd love to spend time with you. We can just hang out and do nothing. Sometimes, good Christians, you think that if you aren't doing something productive in the kingdom, that you're wasting time. I'll tell you, God wants to waste more time with you. He'd love to just get along and just hang out with you. And that honestly, He wants to hear from you. And somebody say, well, Scripture says He already knows what I need before I ask. And He does. But he loves to hear it from your side of the story. He wants to hear it from your heart. And so he wants you to talk. And then he wants to speak into the situation. To think that the God of the universe says, you know what, I'd like to help you get through your day. I'd like to help you navigate what it means to raise kids, to go to school, to go to college. All these interpersonal relationships. I'd love to help you navigate those things. And the way I'll do it is by this gift of reconciliation. First, me and you got to stay good, which means you got to stay connected to me. By the way, God says to you, I've been reconciled to you. Remember 2 Corinthians, what is it, 5:20? That God was in Christ reconciling the world into himself, not counting their trespasses against him. He's good. And by the way, once you receive this gift of reconciliation where it's right with you and God, he would say, if you don't mind, I'd love for you to examine the relationships around you. We want to make sure those are good too. In a minute, we're going to take this thing called communion. Communion is this word that means fellowship. And God is saying to us, not only is it important that we're right, but it's important that you're right with the people around you. So the God who entered our chaos to reconcile himself with us says, now, let's me and you go out into these other relationships. Let's see if we can get them right too. That's the gift of reconciliation. And then this last gift that I have today is this gift of restoration. If reconciliation restores broken relationship, then restoration restores broken circumstances and situations. In fact, I want to read to you from the book of Luke. And in the book of Luke, Jesus walks into the synagogue one day, and he grabs the scroll. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he just opens in the middle of this scroll, and he just begins to talk. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And it says he closed the book. Now this gift of restoration. Jesus comes. And he comes not to pass verdict and punishment on sin. Because you see, that doesn't do anything to relationship that we talked about earlier. But what he does is he comes in to set things right. So when Jesus comes as a judge, he's coming to make it right. And so he comes in. Another word for judge in Scripture is a deliverer. He comes in to deliver us from the things that oppress us, from sin, from addiction, to the things that captivate our minds. He comes to deliver us, to set us free, to save us from those things. But he's not done there. He wants to make them right. So he's interested in justice and righteousness. Righteousness meaning I want to make it right inside of you. That's a beautiful gift. Because the world's a little bit broken out there. You knew that, right? You walked in. And so if you're going to walk in a broken world, what you have to be is right. You have to know it's good with me and God. That we're okay and he's making everything right in me. That way we can go out into the world and he can set things right in the world around us. And so he comes to undo the effects of sin on our life. That's the gift of restoration. Now, I'll tell you this. One of the hardest things for me as a pastor is this. Is that if you have ever received these gifts, and I know that some of you have, and you've started to unpack them, and you know the goodness of God and what he does, one of the things that always grieves me is when I find someone, and they're like what it says about Paul, they're just kicking against God. There may be somebody in the room and you're like that. I know you know someone like that. That you're just kicking against God. Meaning that these gifts, they're free. But for whatever reason, there's something inside of us and the enemy whispered it to us. They ain't free. You got to earn them. And you hadn't earned them yet. So you better keep striving. You better keep working. And there are some people, they just refuse to believe that God would do anything for them. They think that he could save the whole world, but not them. They think that he could reconcile relationships with everybody, not them. That he could restore everybody's mess, but theirs. And for anybody that's ever picked up the gift, you're like, I wish there was some way that I could just get you to just receive. That's what you do at Christmas, right? Somebody gives you a gift, you just start unpacking it. A friend of mine says he just tries to tell people, if you would just get out of your own way. If you would just get out of your way, Jesus would be Jesus. God would do his thing. It's not that he doesn't want to. You keep getting in the way. Just unpack the gift. That's what anybody that's ever unpacked one of these would say. Oh, I want you to have it. Just get out of your own way. And so we're going to end today with communion. Guys that are helping us to serve communion today, I'm going to ask that you guys go ahead and step out. I can't think of a better way to end the service today. One, thinking about Emmanuel, God with us, than to receive communion today. But also it makes this point. And I want you to hear me well, okay? You are under no obligation to receive communion today. Do you hear me? You are under no obligation to receive communion today. It's a gift. Now, we're going to pass it out to everybody, which means a thing of bread is going to come your way, and the fruit of the grape is going to come, the juice of the grape is going to come your way. But you don't have to receive it. You can let it pass you by. And I will tell you that's the offer of salvation, too. You're under no obligation to receive it. But when it comes your way, if you receive it, it's yours. In fact, Jesus would go into places and he would say this, the kingdom of God is near. It's like, oh, you are so close. You're so close to this thing. In fact, right now, when this juice, y'all come on and get in place. You're so close. Look at what they have. They have bread and juice from the grape. Let me say two things about those before we pass them out. So y'all just get into place and just stay right where you're at if you don't mind. Bread was sustenance in the Old Testament. You had to have bread to live. It was a requirement for life. The juice, that on the other hand, that was a luxury item. Bread and juice are also part of any covenant relationship. Anytime someone got married, they sealed the deal with bread and juice, bread and wine. Anytime a business dealing was done, they would celebrate those with bread and juice. And so today we celebrate with bread and juice, this thing that's called a new covenant. It's a beautiful gift. This is what it is. Jesus said, I've done everything. I gave my life, the bread, my body, the juice, my blood, in order for you to enter into a relationship. So I would tell you today, if there is anybody in the room, you have not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that symbolically right now you can receive bread and juice and say, I want to be saved. And then I want to talk to you after this service because I want to let you know what's in store for you. There's some unpacking that has to be done. I don't want to send you away with just that. Some of you say, I've gone a long way around. I've been lost a long time. I used to have a relationship with Jesus. I would say you just receive him back. Let the bread and juice be symbolic of your coming back into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And some of you got something on your mind. It's hard to concentrate. It's that thing that you think about all the time. I would say to receive that bread and juice and allow Jesus Christ to come into every crack and every crevice not only of your life, but that situation. And let Him restore it and reconcile it and bring life to it. So y'all begin to pass out the bread and the juice, whichever one. Just one after the other. Now don't eat it yet or drink it yet. I want you to just hold the bread and the juice until we have it all passed out. By the way, if you want your kids to receive communion, I think that's perfectly appropriate because they receive in childlike faith just like we should. So feel free if that's up to you. And I've asked my family to come up and join me, and I want you to kind of slide in next to your family, and if you're here and you see somebody, just slide a little closer, because this thing called communion is about fellowship, koinonia, fellowship. So I invite you, as the bread and juice are being passed around, to receive communion this morning with this mindset, saying that all you are, Jesus, is enough. All that you have done, it's enough, and I receive it. And all that you have promised over my life, even the things that I don't even yet know, I will unpack. I receive it all in Jesus' name. Forgiveness and presence and contentment, a new reality, the hope of reconciling relationships in your life, and a restoration of the things that the sin and the enemy have taken, stolen, and broken, that they would be restored to us today. So I think at this point, raise your hand if you still need communion and you haven't received it yet. Does everyone have? All right. I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul writes about communion. He says this in verse 23. For I have received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, He took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Take and eat. And in the same way, He took the cup also after supper and saying, "The cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." There are times that we just need to receive communion to be reminded. To be reminded of what Jesus did. To be reminded of what He promised over us, and to say yes all over again. So as you receive this cup, drink and say all over again, "Yes, I receive every good thing, God, that you have to give me in Jesus' name." Receive. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to close, and I would invite you to just say hello to the ones next to you. hug on some people, wish people a Merry Christmas. That part of fellowship is super important to Christ. So let me pray over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this family that you have created here. We thank you for the family of every believer that you have drawn us into a relationship. And Father, today we just receive your body broken for us. We receive your blood spilled for us. We receive this new covenant relationship that, Father, you offer to us, the forgiveness of sin, reconciliation and restoration. All the promises we receive, Lord Jesus. And Father, today we want to just quit kicking against what you are trying to do in our lives, to get out of our own way and to receive freely from you in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for this amazing gift of Emmanuel, your son Jesus, with us. We love you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you for loving us first. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas.